And so well, I got married about that time, and my girlfriend came up from Winnipeg, and so we had not very much money. I went down to Christchurch Cathedral, and we had a church wedding, but there was nobody there except the verger, and he witnessed a ceremony, and the head of the church, he committed the service. So we went out there right away, and I found an old house. It had no water, no light, no sewer, and it was sitting up on posts, and the walls weren't even finished, you see. But that's the only one I could get. So my wife never said anything. And when I went to work, I worked 11 hours a day, so she was there all day. But we found a neighbor about a quarter of a mile away, and so she piled up with her. And finally, when the raspberries started growing, she went up berry picking. So she was away berry picking for the part of the time. And then one day the bush caught on fire. So it got worse and worse. So I come home, she says, "We can't stay here." I said, "Why not?" "Well, you see, we all get burnt." "Oh, no," I said, "you won't get burnt." I said, "just stick it out." See? "I've been through these fires before." I said, "don't be scared of them." I said, "so we'll fight them out." So anyway, it got worse and worse, and finally I had to stay home, you see. And there was one house on one side of it, buried up in the bush. It caught on fire.
Where exactly was this?
Sprott Station, in the area of Sprott Station. But it was between, below Sprott Station, out in the bush, between there and Spurton Avenue. It was only about a couple hundred yards from Spurton Avenue. So all this brush had been growing up there for 50 years, you see, all dry and all tree trunks and everything else. You see, some old snags stuck up there 100 feet high. So she was in terrible shape over this burn, over this fire, but it didn't. I didn't really know how bad she felt about it. You know, it never occurred to me she was just plain terrified of this blooming fire. So I said, "Well, I'll stay home for you." So I stayed home, and then the fire got worse, and then it went up in smoke, and we cleaned up a bunch more of the territory, and we found there was four new houses in there, never been lived in. And we didn't know they were there. They were just like one street after the others. These had been built before the First War. So we saved them. And then one night we heard a terrific crash. I wonder what the devil's happened now. So I get up just breaking day, went over there, and a great big snag got burning underneath, you know. And it fell right down on top of one of these houses and smashed right through the roof, right knocked it all to bits. So I said, "Well, that's that one's gone." So then the fire come around the other side of the house, and there was one, a couple of loggers lived in a little place next door to us. And when they went away, they asked if we'd look after them, you see. "Oh, sure, we'll look after them." I never thought the place was going to catch on fire, you see. Then another couple farther down on Spurting, they had a little place down there, 5 acres, and they asked me if I'd keep an eye on the place. They said, "Oh, sure, I'll look after it for you." So when the place really did get on fire, I was kept pretty busy going around to see which fire was going to burn up next.
Where were they all going?
They weren't logging. They were loggers. Yeah. So anyway, I kept it under control pretty well. But it got pretty tough there for a while.
How long did the fire last?
Oh, about 6 weeks.
Just continually burning?
Yeah, burning. See, it burned all the way from... It started up on the Great Northern Railway and swept up towards the street where we're on Laurel Street.
And which street?
Laurel Street, yeah. So then the wind turned around and it burnt out some more stuff. And finally it ended up on Hastings Street. Burnt all that territory up through Hastings Street.
Got it.
But I'll tell you, it was a pretty bad mess. For a while, see this, and these old trees would come falling down in the middle of the night, you know. And they weighed tons. They were as tall as that tree out there, these great big fir snags, you see, they'd been left. They'd been a fire through. The municipality made a bylaw that if you broke everything down, all the young timber, just chop it down, that would be improving the property, and you could have your taxes lowered. So the fools cut down all the first growth, second growth timber. That's what they actually did. It grew up, another bunch grew up in these places. And all this stuff was laying there, you see. There was places there were logs were on top of each other 15 high. I went to work for one of my neighbors. He worked, lived about a mile and a half away. And I wanted a pig, a couple of little pigs, you see, for the winter, for make for bacon out of it or something. Or put it in jars. So he said, well, I'll exchange it. He says, if you work for me, he says, I'll give you two little pigs. They're little 6 weeks old pigs. So I sure that for fine. I went there to look at it. Well, he said, I want this road cut through here. And that was where Broadway is now. Down between went from Douglas Road through on Broadway. And I only made 3 feet. I only cut through 3 feet that day. I was cutting with a cross-cut saw. In all this massive timber, one bit on top of the other. Cut them up in 4 foot lengths.
This was before the fire that you were
getting? Yes, it was in another district before that. Mm-hmm. And then there's a layoff at the mill once in a while. We couldn't make any headway. We shut the thing down, you see. And maybe run short of cash or something. He did run short of cash one time. He borrowed some off of some lumber company, and they gave him a great big order, and when he couldn't fill it and he couldn't pay his bill, they foreclosed on him.
Hmm.
And they wanted to get rid of him, you see, because he was a menace. He was selling shingles and lumber, you see, in competition for them. And right on the railway track, too. So then the coffin factory took over the place, you see.
Coffin factory?
Coffin factory, yeah. They sent some boys down there. All the us fellows were laid off, you see, around the mill. And the coffin factory took it over. And they made rough boxes for a casket factory in Vancouver.
Hmm.
So, the mill lasted about, 3 years.
So you started it in 1920?
1919 I went out there.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I stayed there till I was married in 1920, and we stayed there from then on, you know.
When was the fire?
Well, it was in 1919.
1919.
Yeah, and 20. It started fire, but 1920 was the worst one. But we had several big fires in Burnaby. They were the last of the big fires. I've seen a few on Vancouver Island. And the biggest one I saw was 1912 up in the interior. And we don't see them anymore because the trees are all gone. There used to be trees growing 200 feet high, and a fire would catch on the top, right in the top branches, and it would what they call a top fire. And they roar away up there, just like thunder up there, and all the tops of trees burning, but not the bottoms, you see. And the bits have dropped down below, sometimes set the bark on fire, like these great big trees. They still continue to grow. You see them scorched and burnt, you know.
Hmm.